So this is one of the famous parts of the gospel, which we often try to smoothen up. Often when you hear this gospel, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, we say, oh, this is for, I don't know, nuns. No, there were no priests and nuns in the time when gospel was written. It is for everybody. And no, this is exaggeration. He didn't mean it literally. Well, he lived it. Christ lived this way. But I'm not Christ. I know. But you are created in the image and likeness of Christ. He wants to remake you in his own image and likeness. And beside that, we have to see that the day when God created you, he created you in the image and likeness of whom? In the image and likeness of God himself. And God is love. That's it. We have in us desire to love as God loves. That because we are created in his image and likeness, we feel our life frustrated, we feel empty. We are not happy if we don't love as God loves us. We want to do that. There is only one problem. We are limited beings. God is unlimited. His love is unlimited. We want to love with this unlimited love. But we are scared. We are scared so much because to love means to sacrifice. Love implies sacrifice, giving myself, spending myself for other. It's easy for God to spend himself. He is unlimited. I'm limited. I'm limited as long as I'm not plugged in God. Once I'm connected with God, I'm full of love. There is enough love for everybody. Let me just go one step back to enforce this idea that we need to love with unlimited love. You see, don't raise your hand and tell me. Just think, did ever any of your selfish acts make you happy? Remember, one selfish act, I don't know, when you took care only for yourself, when you refused to love, did that make you happy? No. Correct? And on the other hand, let me show you how it means when we love with limited love. When we love with limited love, we love till certain point. And then we say, now is enough. Now I have to teach you the lesson. I have to teach Buster the lesson. And then what it means if I love with limited love only till certain point? At the end, it means I love only till the point which is convenient to me. When it becomes inconvenient, sorry. I have to find somebody else to love. That's not love, it's always about me. From the whole point, from the beginning, was about me. That doesn't work. For that reason, we are frustrated. Once when I was going to invite people on this catechesis, we were on the street handing out the invitation. And I said to one person, in this catechesis, I learned how to love. And says, I know how to love. Yeah? Let me see. Actually, that's a good point. You see, we have the Old Testament. It's beautiful how Old Testament, it's beautiful how God have the pedagogy with his people. Did you hear what this was the law in the Old Testament? An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Did God really command, order us to do this vengeance? No. He said, if you do vengeance, that's the limit. You cannot go beyond that. Because before that, people would, you kill my sheep, I go and kill all your flock. You wound my son, I go kill your son to teach you the lesson. And let's be honest, we all have this mentality in our heart. It feels just. I have to teach you not to do this again. I have to do something to you to harm you, not to do this again. That makes sense. And the same mentality you have among the animals. Animals do the same. You a bit poke the animal, it turns and bites you to teach you the lesson. But God says, be holy as I am holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be different. That's only the meaning of holy. Different, separate from the world. God calls us to be different. We don't want to be different. We want to blend in the world. Because the one who is different end up like Christ. Look at him. He was different. He showed that he was holy. And the world attacked him like a pack of wolves. Same will happen to us if we are different. Christ said, if you love only those who love you, what difference are you making? You see, he calls us to be different. He calls us to do something what is different, not because we are better, not because we are something special, but because God wants to make something special of Him. He wants us to be children of God, to have the same nature as God. And I will show you what is this mentality to return what is just. What I'm going to read you is title is The Nine Satanic Statements. I will not read you all nine, I will read you only two, okay? Statement number four. Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it, instead of love wasted on ingrates. How does it seem? I don't know how for you it seems. It seems that I was living most of my life like that. I was following satanic rule. And then statement number five. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. Huh. God calls us to be holy, to be different, not only than the world, to be first of all different than the Satan, because this world follows the rules of Satan. You see that? Just don't be scandalized when God calls you to do something what is impossible for you. He always does. I'm so tired of saying this, but we have to realize it's absolutely meaningless if Christ calls me to do what I can already do. Then I don't need Him. Make sense? If Christ calls me, Jayco, eat chocolate, where I will in that see the power of God? I can do it without the strength of God. But when He calls me to love my enemy, there I can see the power of God. How you can see the power of God, or much more than seeing the power of God? You can experience eternal life. I will not make the quiz. I told you already so many times what is eternal life. And I bet most of you already forgot. I will repeat it. John chapter 17, verse 3. Eternal life is this, to know God and Christ whom He has sent. For those who didn't hear it first time. Eternal life is this, to know God and Christ whom He has sent. How you can know God who is love? When you love. When you love, when you practice this difficult action of love, then God acts in you. And you know God much better than ever. Make sense? This is what I experienced when God helped me to forgive Serbs. Just a reminder, it was the beginning of the war in Croatia. There were monstrosity done, like they killed 12 policemen, 12 young men, took the eyes out. There were snipers on the street killing randomly mother or daughter or things like that. How you forgive these people? They are monsters. I did say at that time that to kill these people would be to do favor to humanity, to clear humanity from monsters. God had different idea. He said, love them and they will become human. What can heal their monstrosity is actually to love them. It's amazing. And God helped me to forgive them, not because I was good, because God wanted me to experience that love. And the moment later on when I was sent to Serbia to mission for 2 years, and I experienced that I could love these people, not because I was good. Even now, that's not part of my nature. I just know where is the source of that love, whom I have to ask to help me to love. Only God can give us this, to love as He loves. And when you love in this way, you experience the presence of God, because you experience action of love in you. And when you experience the presence of God, you experience heaven, because heaven is the presence of God. You understand? You know what eternal life is when you love in this way. And again, God gave me this to do it, and I still cannot do it with my own strength. It's never part of me. At least, maybe once God will make it part of me, I'm still far from it. So don't step on my toes. Don't think that I will immediately act like Satan. But this is the point. There is one book which I love, and I never found it in English, although original was written in English. It's called Forgive Me, Natasha. It is written by a Russian guy who escaped from Russia. There he was living. He was orphan and brought up to be KGB thug. So they were going, KGB organized several group of thugs, and when they heard in this house there are people meeting to pray, they would send these thugs to beat the people with baseball bats, to break the bones. Old people, doesn't matter. You have to really to be broken inside to be able to do that. And this guy was coming to beat one woman, and one old woman told, look at him in peace. She was not scared that he's going to beat her. Is it possible that never anybody loved you? He was broken. He was broken. She made diagnosis. If you can do this, you have never been loved. And this is why God teaches us to love these people. This is how God heals us. He shows us love. And this is what enables us to love. First letter of John, chapter 4, says, love consists in this, not that we have loved, love consists in this, that God has loved us first. We can love when we experience that we are loved by God. I usually make this series of stupid questions to reinforce that. What you get when you squeeze orange? Stupid question, orange juice. Why? Even more stupid, because that's what is inside. What you get when you squeeze man, when you put him in difficult situation? Most of time you get anger, malice, I don't know what. Why? Because that's what is inside. But if you fill that man with the love of God, if that man feels that nothing can hurt him because his heavenly Father loves him and his heavenly Father can heal every wound what you can do to me, wow. What happens when you squeeze that man? You get love. So what is healing is to experience this love of God, not just to hear and believe in my head, to experience it in situations which are scary. Then God confirms, I am stronger than anything what conquers you. There is one more thing needed. So first thing is to experience that we are loved by God. And all these three things which I'm going to say, they are connected. Okay, they go one with each other. Second thing is the Word of God. How I know God loves me, listening His Word, correct? God speaks to me. And why the Word of God? Because everything is done by the Word of God. God said, let there be light, there was light. Poof. God says, let there be heaven above the earth, there was heaven. Jesus Christ calls Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, come out. This Word had power to bring Lazarus from the dead, to give him life. The same Word has power to create love in us. Today, if you believe this Word can actually become true in you, like Word became true in Mary, when angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you will have a son. And you know what happened. Mary says, ha, you get the wrong girl. I was never with man. Angel says, no, Mary, you get the wrong technique. That will be done by the Holy Spirit. Mary says, okay, let it be done to according to your word. And then what is written in John chapter 1 verse 14 is fulfilled. What is written there? The Word became flesh. Angel of God brought the word, Mary will have a son. This Word became flesh in her, in most literal way. Divine life starts in her. When today you receive this Word wants to become flesh in you. Doesn't mean Mary received the Word and the Word became flesh. Was Jesus born next day? No, it took 9 months. And another 30 years that he became effective. So this is not that you hear this word and tomorrow you go and love your mother-in-law. But already you are on the path for that. This word wants to be fulfilled in you, to grow in you. And you need the relationship with God. And you get this relationship how? With the prayer. Oh man, I'm already on the long side. Don't worry. We have lunch at 11:30. I will finish before that. I like when you look scared. For those who didn't see the movie Bruce Almighty, a strange movie, Bruce always complains about God. He always thinks he can do better job than God. And God says, oh, you are so smart. Okay, you will be God for a week. And he destroys everybody's life, even his own. He has all the power as God. He can do whatever he wants, except take freedom from somebody. Even his own girlfriend leave him because of his selfishness. Before was regular selfishness, now it's almighty selfishness. And he, at one scene, he says, God, it is enough. I don't want to be God. You be God. And you see light. And he ends up in heaven and says, am I dead? God says, you cannot kneel on the middle of the highway and expect to live. And God tells him, okay, pray. And he prays like this. God, feed the hungry. help the poor, make the puppies happy, and I don't know what. And he asked God, is this good prayer? And God says, sure, if you want to be Miss America. Come on, what do you really care about? And he says, Grace. That's his girlfriend. And God asks, you want her back? No. I want her to be happy. I want her to meet somebody who will love her as she deserves, who will see her as I see her now through your eyes. Did you hear what he said? As he prayed for her, he see this woman as God see her. If you pray for your enemies, not only once, that's easy. If you seriously dedicate time to pray for your enemies, to make your love active by praying for them, desiring what is best for them, you will see your enemy as God see him. And if you see somebody as God see him, it's impossible not to love that person. God loves that person same as he loves you, as he loves me. God loved me when I didn't deserve that love, when I could not love myself. And he showed me his love, and his love healed me. God loves this person which you cannot love more than you can imagine. Also, God loves you more than you can imagine. And if you see that person as God sees, you don't need any effort to make any effort to love that person, you know. And then comes natural. And I will add that, although I'm probably not supposed to finish in here. But if you try to love with your own strength, if you try to squeeze some love from this selfish heart, only thing what you are going to get is hemorrhoids, nothing else. You cannot squeeze something what is not there. But if you love, if in the prayer God change your heart, you will see that person as God see, then this love comes natural. Let us stand and profess our faith.